In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, on the first day of first Sunday of Great Lent, we celebrate the triumph of Orthodoxy. So why, with the triumph of Orthodoxy, do we have a gospel that is in the very beginning of the Lord's ministry? Nothing spectacular really is happening. Oh yes, the Lord saw what Philip saw Nathanael under the fig tree, but there are greater miracles in the Gospels. Certainly there are more triumphal things about the resurrection, raising people from the dead, all kinds of things. Why is this gospel so apropos for the triumph of Orthodoxy? Well, first of all, what is the triumph of Orthodoxy? A lot of people think of it in terms of the church became larger and became triumph over all heresies, and the icons were restored. Well, we celebrate the restoration of the icons today. But the triumph of Orthodoxy is the victory over evil, the victory over uncleanness, the victory over incompleteness, sickness, and death in the human soul. That's the triumph of Orthodoxy. Now, how does one obtain it? The gospel has a question for us and an answer. First of all, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asks. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, what is Nazareth? Nazareth was a small little town, insignificant, not well thought of, not very honorable. People that came from there were not thought of as very important or anything. It was sort of like being on the wrong side of the tracks. Just a little podunk little town people didn't care much about. But what is Nazareth really? That's what the town was. But when the Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Although he was speaking of knowing that the Lord was raised in Nazareth, really, his words have mystical meaning. Nazareth can be many things to many people. For some, it is Christianity itself. Can anything good come out of Christianity? Look at all the death. Look at all the heresy that has been proclaimed in the name of Christianity. Look at all the false ways of living that people have, and yet they proclaim themselves to be Christians. There are some people that slip up. I think, can anything good come out of this? I see a bunch of people that I don't really want to be around. Some people, their Nazareth is Orthodoxy. Can anything good come out of Orthodoxy? They have a skewed view of it because of things that they've experienced or things that they see and don't understand. To be honest with you, I agree sometimes with their complaints. Just recently, a good friend of our parish was moved to Brazil. Father Constantine wrote myself, and I think he wrote Michael. They're starting a mission in Portuguese. First mission in Portuguese ever for the Russian Church abroad. They've been over there for 70, 80 years. Well-established parishes, large churches, beautiful churches. No mission in Portuguese. Well, last I checked, the national language of Brazil is Portuguese. The people there speak Portuguese. Now, the emigre Russians, they speak Russian and Portuguese. And yet there has been no mission in Portuguese in the Russian Church abroad. Now, I think it's easy for the person in Brazil to say, can anything good come out of this? These people don't even care about my flesh and blood. And Father Constantine is having troubles. The mission is not being given things. It's not, they're being hindered by the established churches. So on a human level, I would say, can anything good come out of Russian Orthodoxy in that area of the world? They don't even understand that the fields are white for harvest, that the calling of the church is to bring the gospel to the multitudes, not just those who have emigrated, but to the multitudes. The real Nazareth for each one of us is the human heart.
our heart, our life. Can anything good come out of our life? Can we really be changed? If you look at things on a macroscopic level, you're always going to find sin and stupidity in the world. In those in the church, you're going to find stupid people everywhere. You're going to find people that don't understand the gospel. Find people that speak of Christianity but live like they're pagans. The triumph of Orthodoxy is for the human heart. It's not for the institution of the church with its buildings and with its publications and with the honor of the world. It is for the human heart. Can anything good come out of your heart? Now, there are two ways that people do not attain salvation or obtain growth and change in their lives. One is that they look at Nazareth and they think, there's nothing happening there, and there nothing ever will happen there. They get tripped up by looking at Christianity as a whole, or looking at Orthodoxy as a whole, or looking at the condition of the world as a whole. What a crazy place this world is. What kind of crazy things people are talking about. Kind of crazy priorities they have. They get tripped up in those things. And they can't find meaning in life because they see such disorder in the world. Well, I tell you, if you try to find order, even in the institution of the church, I don't mean the essence of the church. I don't mean the body of Christ now. I mean the outward manifestation of it in people, then you won't find meaning. You won't find order. You won't find good. Good is in the heart. That is where God works. So people get tripped up by seeing Nazareth and not changing because they think it can't be done. People also get tripped up by refusing to come and see. Because when Nathanael asked the question, Philip said, come and see. Now, what does this mean? Well, the Lord gives us some information what it means. When he sees Nathanael, he says, oh, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Not a tricky person, not a dishonest person. A person with an honest and good heart. A person with decency. A person with love, with compassion. Such a heart can learn of God. So if you want to come and see, if you want to see if there really can be change in Nazareth, then you must have a good heart. You must try to do well. Now, in coming and seeing, what we must do is we must listen to what the Lord teaches us. Follow the commandments. Struggle to be good. Struggle to follow what is in our heart. I tell you, it's in everyone's heart. People can try to get good out of the Nazareth that is their life in a lot of ways. Drugs. People have experimented with drugs. Eventually, even if they remain with them the rest of their life, they know that they don't provide the relief they want, the satisfaction they crave. Sex. People look for satisfaction in sex or other kinds of carnal things. Does this give satisfaction? Only for a moment. But then there's emptiness afterwards. Selfish ways of living. Being concerned for the here and now. Wealth. Climbing the corporate ladder. Entertainment. If we try to find good in this life in these things, we have pleasure for a moment, and then when the entertainment is done, then when we are sober again, then when the frivolous relationship is over, then we look inside ourselves and we don't see anything there. We don't see any good. We don't see anything that gives us satisfaction. The human heart needs to be good. That's why the Lord taught us the commandments. That's why the Lord showed us the commandments. That's why he speaks so often of obedience. Why he speaks so often of many things that we must do. Because without these things, there is no satisfaction. There is no good. There is no happiness. Now, some people are very good at appearing to be happy for a long period of time. But there is emptiness within. This is not the life that the Lord wanted us to have. He wants us to have a full and abundant life. The problem is, whether we look at the world, whether we look at religious institutions, or sometimes if we look at ourselves and see, there's so much wrong, how can it get better? If we refuse to take a step of faith and struggle to follow what the Lord has said, we will never see. We'll never see how the human heart can be changed, how we can be perfected, how we can be truly happy. This is what the Lord wants for us. But we must have a guileless heart. Also, according to the apostle, we must have faith. By faith, many things happen. Without faith, nothing happens. And what is faith? Faith is to come and see. But what is to come and see? To come and see is to listen to the Lord and to struggle to follow him. We all have personal Nazareths. We all have doubts. We all wonder if things will get better. I have many things in my life. I wonder if they'll get better. Many times I get very tired. Very tired. And I lose heart. I'm sure you do too. I know definitely though that if I were to continue without being tired out, that if no matter that I'm depressed about something, one thing or another, that I would continue, that I would pray anyway, that I would do what is right anyway, that I would struggle anyway, that the Lord will always, always bring good out of such things. What did he say to Nathanael? You believe me because I saw you under the fig tree? You'll see greater things than these. What greater things will he see? The same things you and I should see. The change of the human heart. From incomplete, from sick, from weak, to strong, to pure, to holy, to happy. This is what the Lord came for. This is the triumph that we speak of. I think oftentimes religious institutions get it wrong. And orthodoxy can become an institution, as it is in Brazil, something that is sort of like, this is our culture, leave us alone. It's just an institution. It has no life in it if it's like that. Religious institutions think of triumph in terms of power, majesty, authority, honor. The Lord thinks of the triumph of orthodoxy as revealing himself to our hearts. But our hearts must be prepared to be able to see him. They can only see him with struggle, with effort. Every night in the evening prayers, I hope it's every night for all of you, St. John's Chrysostom prayer, 24 prayers of the hours. One of them is, deliver me from faint-heartedness and stony insensibility. Shouldn't we all, in our confession, confess faint-heartedness? Confess that sometimes our Nazareth looks so big, so terrible, so complicated, that we don't see how good can come out of it. Shouldn't we confess that? Not many of you do, but I would guess that for most of you, in fact, really, I've been around a while. I believe for all of you. Faint-heartedness is part of your problem. If we really believe the Lord, what did He say? You can move mountains. And of course, that mountain is also the human soul, is that we would be completely changed and completely good and completely happy. Since we're not completely changed and completely good and completely happy, I submit to you that we don't completely believe. Now, Lent is a time for reassessing ourselves, for reordering our priorities, and for looking within ourselves. There are many ways to look within. Some of them are quite false, and they lead to false opinions and false assumptions. The only true way to look within is to listen to the voice of the Lord, to attempt to follow His commandments, and to assess where we are in terms of the following of His commandments, in terms of becoming better, becoming more holy, becoming more Christian in the way we live. Then our Nazareth will become smaller, and eventually there will be only good in our hearts. This is what the Lord wants for us. Unfortunately, most people never obtain it, either because of lack of faith that they can really be changed, or lack of effort. It takes effort to be a Christian. You must be without guile. How many of us are truly honest? How many of us can say that we don't lie to God when we say we love Him and yet we don't follow His commandments? A person without guile, God will change completely. And he will see greater things than he could even imagine. My prayer for you is that you would experience the triumph of orthodoxy in your hearts. That is, that you would, throughout all of your life, always be looking, always be going to where the Lord is, to see Him. May God help you to have this faith. Amen.